The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belvin.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Thursday, April 12, 2012, and it's got to be 425 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. Glad you could be here. Glad I could get the microphone button turned on. And I want to let you know that we just started the show late just for Swift Shauna, just so she could get and see the show. Joining us here in the studio, we've got Wiz Calico hanging out on camera, too. How are you doing, Calico?
Aloha. Quite well. Glad to be here.
Hope you don't mind if I cut the intro short, but no. We're a little short on time.
On today's show,
we've got all sorts of great stuff. I've got Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment today. Diane Goldstein from LEAP is going to join us. She's a retired lieutenant commander from the Redondo Beach Police Department. She'll talk about her experiences in the war on drugs. I'm going to bring back our interview with Kevin Booth, his talking about American Drug War II, because I'm going down to Willamette University in Salem later tonight to film him and talk to him live as he's showing clips, unedited clips, raw footage from his new movie, American Drug War II. So I wanted to remind folks about Kevin Booth. We'll play that interview at the bottom of the hour. Also, at 20 after, we got your Groovin' Thursday music coming up. So today, I'm going to bring you some local funk from a Portland band called Tony Ozier and the Doodoo Funk All-Stars. You know it's going to be good when there's Doodoo Funk involved. All that and more is coming up on the Normal Network and Normal Show Live. So thanks for sticking with us. Right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hi, I'm Radical Russ. One of the best things about marijuana is the wonderful aroma. But when you travel a lot like I do, that aroma becomes a suspicious smell. That's why I endorse stealth-products.com, the leaders in smell-proof containers. From smell-proof vacuum bags to smell-proof backpacks and duffel bags, all the way to smell-proof digital safes, stealth-products.com has you covered. Stealth-products.com brings you safe, secure, odorless layers of protection with activated carbon fiber. Backpacks and duffel bags are simple black so as not to attract attention with a logo or a flashy design. Now, nothing is perfectly odor-controlled from the detection of drug dogs, but with proper vigilance, containers from stealth-products.com will help you avoid nosy humans.
You're now listening to Elliot Beats.
Stealth-products.com. Stealth-products.com.
Russ Belville. Yeah, he's a scurvy dog.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of Normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. WeedMaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit WeedMaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply of the sacred smoke.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
Cannabis Carrie couldn't be with us today, so I'm Radical Russ here with your Normal News. The Board of Supervisors for the Nevada County, California, is proposing a new urgency ordinance, adding Article 5 to Chapter 4 of the Nevada County General Code regarding medical marijuana cultivation. This was forwarded to me by some of my contacts in California, and I just wanted to take this opportunity to show you some of the things that are proposed in here, and for people to be ready for this in their counties all across California and in the other medical marijuana states. In Hour 2 today on Toker Talk Radio, I'm going to be doing a run-through of a presentation I'm doing at the Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver entitled The Box Canyon 2012, and it's a follow-up on a philosophical presentation I've given called The Box Canyon, which theorizes that our continued pursuit of medical marijuana perfection is going to lead us into a box canyon where the only kind of marijuana we get will be medical, and soon pharmaceuticalization will come, and that medical marijuana will become pharmaceutical marijuana. We'll talk about that in Hour 2, but I just wanted to cover this Nevada County ordinance to show you what they're proposing, what they're trying to do to restrict the rights of people to cultivate their own cannabis medicine. One of the paragraphs here in the preludes is trying to set the stage of why this is an urgent need. They say marijuana growers can achieve high plant yield because of the county's favorable growing conditions, between 1/2 pound to 2 pounds per plant. So they're trying to set the stage that we're growing tons and tons of medicine, and it has this huge, you know, $2,000 to $5,000 value per pound. They also make a point of saying cultivation of any amount of marijuana at locations or premises within 600 feet of schools, school bus stops, school evacuation sites, churches, parks, child care centers, or youth-oriented facilities creates unique risks that the marijuana plants may be observed by juveniles and therefore be especially vulnerable to theft or recreational consumption by juveniles. In other words, we got to keep the weed 600 feet away from anywhere a kid might be because they might see it, and then they might steal it, and then they might smoke it. I don't know why 600 feet is the magic number that keeps kids away, but that's what they're proposing in Nevada County. Also, they're trying to posit that in 2011, Nevada County has experienced a dramatic increase in citizen complaints regarding the odor, threats to public safety, and other nuisances that unregulated cultivation sites can create. So, in setting up this ordinance that they're proposing in Nevada County to deal with these terrible, terrible threats that they're trying to scare you about. Oh, and by the way, let's get the definition of youth-oriented facility. I think everybody follows what a school or a church or, you know, and all the school bus stop and so on can kind of grasp what that is. But youth-oriented facility as defined in this ordinance would mean any facility that caters to or provides services primarily intended for minors or the individuals who regularly patronize, congregate, or assemble at the establishment are predominantly minors. So this could be a toy store. This could be a McDonald's with a play place playground. This could be any place, you know, a little league football field, any place that would regularly be patronized by minors. So that's a pretty broad definition of what a youth-oriented facility would be. Anyhow, this is what they're proposing in Nevada County, that the cultivation of marijuana, either indoors or outdoors, would be a violation and a public nuisance that could be abated if it did not follow the following rules. First of all, it may only be grown by a qualified patient who occupies a legal residence on a legal parcel proposed for cultivation as their primary place of residence. In other words, you can't grow in some other house. It has to be your own house. Your caregiver can grow for you, but only at your house. Your caregiver can't grow for you at their house. They have to grow at the qualified patient's primary residence and or, I'm sorry. Let me apologize. That was wrong. Or at the primary caregiver's primary residence. I read that wrong. I take that all back. Cultivation within a residence or any other structure lawfully used or intended for human occupancy is prohibited. Now, that might sound confusing. Didn't they just say you had to grow inside? But what they're saying here is that indoor cultivation may only occur within a detached structure that meets the definition of indoor. In other words, you can't grow inside your house. You have to grow inside a shed that's indoors, but not inside your house. It has to be a separate, detached structure. And as far as the limits of any sort of outdoor marijuana cultivation, any residential area would be limited to 75 square feet of outdoor cultivation. Indoor cultivation would be limited to 6 mature or immature marijuana plants. Places that are zoned for rural use would be able to cultivate between 75 and 400 square feet, depending how large the property is. That is, a property of less than 2 acres would get 75 square feet. Property of 20 acres or more would get 400 square feet. But at no point would anybody ever get more than 6 plants indoors, right? Then, if you're setting up your outdoor grow, has to be 100 feet from any other legal residence, has to be 600 feet from a school bus stop, school evacuation site, church, park, child care center, or youth-oriented facility, and cannot be in any location where marijuana would be visible from the public right of way or publicly traveled private roads at any stage of growth. Now, they also propose that outdoor grows have a solid sight-obscuring fence of at least 6 feet, but not more than 8 feet in height, and plants shall be cut so as not to extend higher than said fence. So if you got yourself your 8-foot fence, your plants can only be 7 foot, 11 inches tall. If any tip of the leaf goes higher than a fence, you would be a nuisance and you could be abated. Also, if people traveling public roads could see your grow, say, for example, you live in a depressed area where there's a roadway that's a little higher, you know, like a hillside or something, and if people driving down that road could see down into your yard around which you have your 8-foot fence, if you didn't have that covered so that the people driving by couldn't see it, well, that would be a nuisance that could be abated. There shall be no exterior evidence of indoor or outdoor cultivation from a public right-of-way or publicly traveled private road. That means no exterior evidence that you're cultivating. There can be not, they can't not just see plants, but any evidence of plants. If they see stalks that have been cut down sitting around somewhere, if they can see it from the road, you would be a nuisance that could be abated. Outdoor cultivation areas shall be on a single plane. No portion of any marijuana plant, including any portion of the plant's canopy, shall extend outside the outdoor cultivation area. So if you got that 75 square foot, you can't terrace it. You can't have different levels of 75, you know, to make 75 square feet. It has to be 75 square foot on a single plane. And if any leaf extends outside that three-dimensional boundary of that plane, then you would be a nuisance that could be abated. All the lights that are to be used in indoor or outdoor cultivation of marijuana shall be shielded and downcast or otherwise positioned in a manner that will not shine light or allow light to glare, the light's glare, to exceed the boundaries of the parcel upon which they are placed. So the light can't go outside of the boundaries of your parcel. Wherever medical marijuana is grown, a copy of a current and valid state-issued medical marijuana identification card or physician recommendation must be displayed in such a manner as to allow law enforcement officers to easily see the card without having to enter any building of any type. Yet, you're not supposed to have any evidence of the fact that you're growing visible from the public road. So I'm not sure how that works. I suppose they have to, if they have to walk up close enough to see the card, that it can't be seen. I don't know how you work that out. Oh, the person that is growing the medical marijuana must register the premises with the Nevada County Sheriff's Office annually and shall provide all of the following current information and documentation to the Sheriff's Office, including the names of the people, the names of the patients, the names of the qualifying caregivers, the copy of the medical marijuana recommendation, the total square footage of where you're going to grow indoor or outdoor, etc. Signed statements that you will authorize the sheriff, fire district, and appropriate county employees or their agents and designees, including building and fire inspectors, to enter the property only during normal business hours for the purpose of examining the location to confirm compliance with this article. That's all. You just have to sign away everybody's going to be there, where you're going to be growing the marijuana, and anybody from the county can come into your house within normal business hours to make sure that your grow is within compliance. And nothing herein shall limit the ability of the fire district or any other appropriate county employees from entering the property to conduct inspections. Now, if you're thinking how bad this is, that you have to jump through all these hoops, but then maybe you actually could in Nevada County, if this were to pass, you could jump through all the hoops and finally have your big fenced, enclosed, secret marijuana grow that nobody would ever know is there. What happens if someone wants to open a playground or a park or someplace within 600 feet of your place? Well, according to this section of change in land use, the county shall encourage any person proposing to construct or operate a new or relocated school, school bus stop, school evacuation site, church, park, child care center, or youth-oriented facility to consider whether the proposed location of such use is within 600 feet of a registered premises upon which marijuana is cultivated. Upon request, the sheriff's office shall inform any person proposing to construct or operate a new or relocated school, school bus stop, school evacuation site, church, park, child care center, or youth-oriented facility regarding whether there is a registered premises upon which marijuana is cultivated within 600 feet of the proposed location of such use. So they're going to tell these people that you're growing if you're within 600 feet of where they're going to set up their school or their bus stop or their park. And it's up to them whether or not they're going to set up there anyway and force you to have to stop growing your medical marijuana in Nevada County if this ordinance passes. Now, normally I do more than one news story, but I just felt like really digging into that. And as Blunston would say, getting into breaking down Belleville mode. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
We'll get to the rest of those news stories in Hour 2. Toker Talk Radio, join us for Hour 2, and we'll cover the Rescara vote. A Hawaii cop with medical marijuana. Massachusetts Marshal Coakley on medical marijuana. And George Will's latest column on legalization. So stay tuned for Hour 2.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420 friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip hop, soul, R&B, and funk. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everybody. And I found this next artist, this next music, through a guy. We have these clubs here in Oregon, these cannabis clubs for medical marijuana patients that are pseudo legit, I guess, is a one way to put it. And this one cat was working there as a bud tender. And we got to talking about music and funk, and he talked about how he's in a group called Tony Ozier and the Doo Doo Funk All-Stars. And they play a regular jam session here and also play funk with a lot of clubs around here in Portland, Oregon. So he hit me onto the group, gave me their CD, and I've been playing one of the songs from this CD. It's a song that features Bootsy Collins. Bootzilla, baby! And I just love this stuff. So I'm going to bring out another track from Tony Ozier and the Doo Doo Funk All-Stars. This track is called Swagger. Let's get it on.
because of me and you. But I won't stand for this no more. You know what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna. Your love is a liar. You give it your all, but you get no higher. For the chance to flex on stage and set the world on fire. The life you lead are your sowing seeds. I give love out so it comes back to me. The truth is right in front of you. Take a chance to live. Do what you gotta do.
Something, fall for nothing and never let go. Fight for your right to fight. Believe for what you hold. From the bottom of the chain we came. On our own 2 feet we rose. From the concrete, yes, we bloom. Stop and pray and then resume. Like a load and boom, boom, boom. Fist raised like a panther do. All black down to my roots. Lift a brother up, cut him off.
Alternative Medical Choices offers healthcare the way it should be. Easy to access, patient-centered, team-based, and quality-focused. We offer a variety of natural, affordable healthcare treatment options like primary care, group acupuncture, massage, and assistance with OMP registration. As a patient, you will have a team of experts working with you to make you the best you can be. Call Alternative Medical Choices at 503-288-5579 or check us out on the web at altmedchoices.com.
Most of us pirates, we go on vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. Arr! What are you smoking there, boy?
Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
It's that freedom. Freedom. I'm free to do it.
Catch Normal News with Cannabis Carry every weekday on Normal Show Live at 7 p.m. Eastern here on the Normal Network. One of the most disturbing elements of the war on marijuana is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows firsthand the futility of the drug war and reaches out to the community and to current law enforcement to end our war on drugs through legalization. It's time now to speak to one such officer in our continuing look at law enforcement against prohibition.
All right, this is one of my favorite segments we do on the show because I always feel that that is, you know, like the introduction says, one of the saddest parts of the drug war is that those of us who are marijuana consumers, who are generally law-abiding, other than that law, don't get to interface and trust and deal with police in the way that most citizens get to. So joining us today for our Law Enforcement Against Prohibition segment is Diane Goldstein, a retired lieutenant commander of the Redondo Beach Police Department. Thanks for being here, Diane.
Thanks, Russ. Really appreciate it.
All right. So it looks like you had worked for a long time there and worked your way up through the police department ranks. And as you went through training and through your early years, did you have the same attitudes on the war on drugs as you've developed now, or did this develop over time?
You know what? This was really from a personal level. It was a continual evolution. Now, I'll be very honest with you. In high school, I wasn't an angel. I was one of those, you know, I could be a cop or a crook, so to speak. and I used cannabis in high school, but I was also very honest. I wasn't addicted to it. I didn't, you know, I grew up in the 70s.
Okay.
Pretty common, probably just as common as it is now. So when I went into law enforcement, I had a different viewpoint about marijuana anyway, because I realized that a lot of what our parents and what law enforcement taught us was incorrect. Mm. And so, but my almost 22 years of law enforcement, what it did, it absolutely validated that opinion that what we are doing is not working. And, you know, I always thought that I enforced the law fairly and, you know, compassionately. But I just look at the complete waste of time and the waste of time that it took me from other things that were really much more important in our community, like domestic violence, you know, drunk driving, mm-hmm. robberies, assaults, you know, really doing intervention with kids and getting them back on track. I mean, it took you away and created this environment that engenders disrespect.
Yeah, and you know, I completely agree with what you're saying, Diane. And as I'm looking through your biography here, there's a part here that touches on another aspect of the war on drugs that frustrates me, and that's the militarization of our domestic police forces and what I consider to be an overuse of special weapons and tactics, or these SWAT teams. I noticed that you're a member of the California Association of Hostage Negotiators, and I'm wondering if you can speak to that increased militarization in this war on drugs.
Yeah, well, you know, and I think what's happened is, as you saw the funding increase, so did the equipment and the monies that went to specialty tactical units. Now, what you have to understand, in its truest sense, special weapons units like SWAT are very appropriate in instances where there's significant violence going on, whether, you know, it's a bank robbery in progress, you're going in rescuing hostages.
I remember that Northridge shootout with
Northridge
the bank.
Northridge shootout.
Yeah, I
don't
know,
you
that
know,
kind of stuff.
In its most classic example, SWAT and crisis negotiations was set up to save lives. If used properly, a proper tactical response will save people's lives and protect the community. But what has happened is, as the war on drugs has expanded, and what people don't understand is the federal government lowered, they passed, you know, the Posse Comitatus Act, you know, thousands of years ago, that the military couldn't operate on domestic soil. Well, what the drug war has done is there's been several reversals that has allowed the military influence to come into the war on drugs. We use the Coast Guard for interdiction. You know, you're now seeing, you know, TSA with their random searches for terrorists, you know, on trains and other places. And so we slowly, the only places we have eroded our personal liberties is in trying to stamp out terrorism and the war on drugs. And we use these severe tactics that are not beneficial for either the police officers, And it basically causes some significant friction in the community. And, you know, you can talk about whether it's marijuana or cocaine or heroin or anything else. It's I have never seen the level of disrespect at the place where it's at with law enforcement since 1983. Mm. And I think that's one of the reasons why I fight so hard by going out and doing education and speaking out in front of groups to talk about the importance of that law enforcement relationship. You have to look at law enforcement as a social contract between us and the community. And it was established by the Constitution. And so law enforcement, when I was first brought into law enforcement, it was about serving our community, Russ. And, you know, in California, I don't know how it is in other places. Under the statutory authority in California, I'm given policing powers through a section that describes me as a peace officer. Now, at times I have to police people, but that's not the goal. It's to serve. So there's, you know, it's that whole words matter.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge difference between being a peace officer and serving my community and being this highly militarized police officer and going down and crashing down doors and having a war on our own community members.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Diane Goldstein, retired lieutenant commander with the Redondo Beach Police Department and a member of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. I encourage everyone to check out LEAP's website. The quick and easy way is leap.cc, or you can go to copsaylegalizeddrugs.com. And so, Diane, you've been out speaking. We've got video of you working in California to help in this area. And, of course, when we talk about California, we have to bring up the medical marijuana, Prop 215 Compassionate Use Act, and the way the legislature is trying to crack down. It seems to me like they're getting an earful from law enforcement that doesn't like medical marijuana, and they're crafting bills to try to please law enforcement. This latest one, what is it, 2552, the Assembly Bill?
Yes, the Assembly Bill 2552, correct. The zero-tolerance cannabinoid.
Tell crazy. Folks about this.
In California, there's an Assembly Bill that has now been amended, which is, in my opinion, is actually a worse amendment than simply to start. And what you have is you have an Assembly person whose intent, and interestingly enough, today I probably spent about 20, 25 minutes on the phone with one of her staff members who wrote, is helping to craft this bill. And he, surprisingly enough, said, you know what, you've brought up some really valid points. Who else should I be speaking to? So I've now managed to send him an email to say, you need to be talking to Don Duncan at ASA. You need to be talking to Lanny Swerdlow, who's a great patient advocate mm-hmm. in California. You need to be talking to this person who can give you some information that you need to take into account. And so the amended bill, because LEAP actually, myself and Steve Downing, who's been on your show, mm-hmm. Crafted a letter in response to the bill, and it got some great publicity, and it forced, and it went to the Public Safety Committee, and it really forced her to kind of take a look at, wait, am I getting all the information? So you bring up a point which I think that most people don't understand is really the insidious level of law enforcement lobbying mm-hmm. that goes on in our society, both at the state levels, local levels, and on the national level. And for whatever reason, is law enforcement now understands the power that they wield, and they're using it in every way, shape, or form to block any type of significant reform. And they're using rhetoric and fear and not facts.
I know.
And that's kind of one of my battles is LEAP is in California starting to get much more involved in the legislative process and to speak out and to contact people to say, look, there's other voices out there that you need to be listening to. And, you know, whether we want to agree or disagree about Occupy Wall Street, one of the things that they raise, which is so important in our society, is that lobbying at any level is what is ruining our country. Mm. And law enforcement lobbying, I believe, is much more insidious because they were placed like the military in the executive branch for a particular reason. They're not supposed to legislate law.
Right. Whatever happened to, we don't make the laws, we just enforce them.
Correct. But yet they go back to, which is the interesting part, because right now law enforcement is talking out of both sides of their mouth. because I was up in Sacramento listening to Benjamin Wagner, the one of the federal AGs that has initiated this crackdown in California. You know, they have the big four. And that was his response. We don't make the law, we just enforce it. And that's all we're doing. And I'm sitting there like just crazy making, you know. And Stephen Downing got up and asked a good and valid question. You know, what's the metric of success? And his metric of success was, well, you know, the next thing we're doing is methamphetamine. I mean, there's no metric of success. We're on automatic pilot right now. And nobody wants to raise their hand and say, hey, it's not working. Or at least the politicians and the law enforcement leaders don't, because they have too much at stake.
Yeah, it's so true, Diane. And we got to wrap things up for this interview, but I do want to give folks a chance to learn more about LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. It's at leap.cc. Diane, will you be out speaking in public or at any of the cannabis events where people might get a chance to hear you live?
You know what? It's funny you should say that. It appears that I just got an invitation for this summer. There's going to be KushCon down in Anaheim. I'll be speaking, and I don't have the date yet, but it's going to be at Alliant University in Los Angeles at their presidential series. And so I do get around a lot, try to get a lot of radio interviews and stuff. But, you know, go to the website, www.leap.cc. Any speaking engagements I'm at normally are posted there. But what I wanted to say is I watched your debate with Kevin Sabat.
Ah, yes.
And I loved it.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Diane.
You know, so, you know, please feel free to have me back on the show whenever you want, Russ.
I will be glad to. And I thank you for being here. And the next time we get you on, we'll talk more about this hostage negotiation stuff and the high end of policing here. But we gotta call it a day for now. So thank you, Diane, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Not a problem, Russ. We'll talk soon.
All right. Diane Goldstein, retired lieutenant commander from the Redondo Beach Police Department with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. When we come back, Kevin Booth from American Drug War II. You're listening to Normal Show Live.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger Seeds, TGAGenetics.com, and you're listening to Normal Show Live.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Have you ever wondered how to make the best tasting and most potent pot brownies possible? Do you consistently seek out recipes that will elevate your marijuana-infused cuisine to the highest levels imaginable? Then it's time to pick up a copy of the official High Times Cannabis Cookbook, published by the world's most trusted name when it comes to getting stoned. Packed tight with more than 50 recipes for eerie appetizers, munchy meals, high holidays, stoner sweets, and cannabis cocktails, along with expert advice that demystifies the experience of infusing marijuana into butter, alcohol, and various oils. This book will get you cooking with grass in no time, with special treats inspired by Willie Nelson, Snoop Dogg, and Cheech and Chong, plus all the info you need to stay safe when making and consuming edibles. You will truly learn how to bake a ganja cake and eat it too. So look for the official High Times Cannabis Cookbook wherever finer books.
All right, folks, we're glad to be sitting here and talking with Kevin Booth, American filmmaker. You may know him from his great documentary, American Drug War, The Last White Hope. Kevin, how you doing?
Doing Doing really good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, folks, if you haven't seen American Drug War, you definitely need to take a look at this. It's one of the best documentaries about the failings of America's war on drugs. You've also got the film How Weed Won the West. How did that do for you? You guys got that on Netflix and stuff yet?
Yeah, we got the video on demand with that one. And, you know, it was a little bit more of a quickie, lighthearted film. And, you know, it's funny now looking back, we ended on the famous last words of saying, you know, marijuana's legal, woohoo, we can all party, you know, and ever since then.
Yeah, look what's happened.
Yeah, especially just today, if you heard about what happened in Oakland today.
Yeah, that's right. We've been reporting on the Oaksterdam raids, and we spoke with Dale Sky Jones from the university, and she's commenting on that. Still information that's coming out today, and we'll get all that to the people. But yeah, you're right. I mean, this is a full-out war in California. Obama administration clamping down hard. The next film you've got coming up here, American Drug War II. This is what we've got you on the line here to talk about. We've got some screenings of this coming up. Tell folks about American Drug War II. Does it just take off from where the last one left off?
Right. Well, it's actually the what I'm doing is it's not the film is not finished yet. I've been out there on the field filming. I just got back from filming in Juarez, Mexico.
Oh, wow.
We've been filming in Colorado. We've got just a huge slew of amazing experts in this thing. And what I'm doing is I've got these lectures. I do like these lecture screenings at universities, and it enables me to almost edit the movie live in front of an audience. I go in front of the audience, and I've got all these pieces of the movie that I filmed, and I can actually feel the live audience. So if you want to have input on the way that American Drug War II is edited and put together, come out to these shows, because it's really the way the audience reacts. I did one in New Hampshire a couple weeks ago, and you know, already because of the way they reacted with certain things, I'm removing this, I'm adding this, you know, and so, but there's going to be some footage that no one's seen yet that we shot. We just got back from, like I said, Juarez, Mexico, which was pretty crazy. When we were there, the cartels were killing one police officer a day, and we got taken into what was called, considered the most dangerous neighborhood in the world, in the very back, on the back, the entire neighborhood is just built on rubble, and on giant trash dumps. And this is important, you know, a lot of people in the marijuana movement may be saying, like, well, what does this have to do with us? Well, it has everything to do, because Juarez is really, you know, what's going to happen to everybody if the war on drugs doesn't end.
Yeah.
You know, Juarez is, this is basically, you know, going to be the future if the drug war doesn't end. And so it is important to look at Juarez and what we're doing to these people with our failed policy, because it's really reprehensible. And in this neighborhood, all these young kids join this gang called the Aztecs, and the cartels come in there to recruit these kids, and they pay them, oh, upwards of $40 to commit murder.
Wow.
Jeez. And so, yeah, for about $40, you can hire someone to kill somebody in Juarez.
Hmm. We're speaking with Kevin Booth, a director of American Drug War, and now American Drug War II, that is being edited as we as you travel around speaking about it. We wanted to let people know that there will be a screening and a lecture taking place tomorrow, Wednesday, April 4th, 2 o'clock at the University of Pittsburgh. And then you're off to Boston the next day on Thursday, April 5th, 8 o'clock at night at Tufts University in Boston. How has this tour been going? You got more dates coming up after this?
I think I've got Portland, Oregon, or, oh, God, I always forget how to pronounce it, Willamette.
You're
really important.
Yeah.
Willamette. God, I always miss Willamette. I'll be in Willamette, I believe. Oh, my gosh, I have this in front of me. I believe April 12th in Willamette.
Yeah, definitely.
And that'll be an all-day deal. We're going to, I think I'm going to introduce American Drug War real early in the day. If they're going to play the film, I'm going to come back, and then I'm going to do the lecture that I'm doing at these places. So it's going to be like a six-hour show or something. It'll be crazy.
We'll definitely have to come out for that if you're at Willamette University. That's real close to us. We'd love to get a chance to meet you, get you on video. That would be fantastic.
Perfect.
All right, April 12th here in the Portland area. And, Kevin, as you do this, this is also on Facebook if people want to get connected that way. What's the Facebook address for them?
Well, you know what? Just go find me, Kevin Booth, on Facebook and through there. I mean, you could just search your way into it. I don't know the exact address.
Is there information?
Go to sacredcow.com.
That's what I was going to say, sacredcow.com.
Yeah, go to sacredcow.com, and on there I've got posters for each show. You can always keep up with whatever I'm doing at sacredcow.com. Mm-hmm. And from there you can find your way to like RSVP pages or wherever you need to find yourself.
Excellent. Now, Kevin, when you were shooting down there in Juarez, you reported on the police being assassinated one per day. We actually reported on that story and how they had to move the entire Juarez police force into a hotel to keep them protected. Did you fear for your life while you were shooting these in Juarez?
While I was shooting? Yeah, I was shooting. No, they were shooting. I was hiding.
But it's
really dumb here. We actually hired private security, so it's crazy because what you find out is that you can't hire the police because if you hire the police are all bought and paid for by the cartels. So you have to hire private security, and, you know, hopefully they're not corrupt, so... You know, you just hope that you didn't hire a private security firm that's going to sit there and go, oh, well, this guy from the cartel is going to offer me more than what you're paying for, you know, to store your ransom. So, you know, we actually had armed escort the whole time. We had, like, this really hot, skinny girl with, like, a giant gun, like, walking around. She was, like, Secret Service. She was all Sarah Palin looking, and it's hard to explain.
Wow.
But she drove us around the city. But she was with this private security firm. You'll see it in the film.
Now,
definitely. You know, I was only over there for so long. I'm such an idiot. The first day I go walking over there with my camera just rolling and walk up to the guys with a machine gun. Then, like, hey, is it okay if I interview y'all? What are you thinking? They're just like, dude, you've got to be kidding me. And, you know, of course, they're all like, it's like 100 miles an hour.
Yeah. I'm sure Gringo Loco came into that conversation somewhere along the line.
Yeah, after a while, and I got back. But the people that were the meanest to me, actually the biggest jerks of the whole trip, were the American Homeland Security. They're the ones that ended up yelling at me over and over again because, you know, I kept going through the security checkpoint on the way back, and I would think I was so slick by just, you know, having my camera around my neck with it on and running. And they'd just be like, dude, we're not that stupid. And I'd be like, oh, really? You're not?
Really? Oh, wow. We're speaking with Kevin Booth from Sacred Cow Productions, sacredcow.com for information on this new movie, American Drug War II. What else do you have included other than the Juarez stuff in this new movie? What are we going to see?
That's just one little fraction. I mean, we're getting all into the cutting-edge cancer research. We've got Dr. Courtney, Dr. Abrams. We just got back from Colorado filming Cannabis Science with Dr. Robert Melamed. We're going to be in the film. We've got the thing about all the research going on in CBDs and juicing the plant and the Rick Simpson oil and basically the fact that, you know, that our own government bought the patent to cannabinoids and medical marijuana back in 2003. So while they're raiding everybody in Amsterdam today, they themselves are already working with pharmaceutical companies, knowing that it is real medicine. And, you know, the real story is that curing cancer would destroy a $1 trillion-a-year industry, and our government has no desire to ever cure cancer. And that's why you're being thrown in jail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you so much truth there, and it does get pretty scary when you start to, you know, peel away the layers of the drug war onion, and you find that it really is that cynical. It's about protecting profits, about protecting entrenched industries, and it puts the government in the position of being the hired thug that keeps the mafia money flowing, if you want to use that kind of metaphor. You know, it's just the way we're being it's the smash and grab robberies that we get in California with the DEA, where they bust up someone's business but they never charge anyone with any crime. It just smacks of mafiosos and thuggery. It's sad our country has come to this position, don't you think?
And I think, you know, and another thing that's coming out of this too is people should look up cnhemp.com. I believe that's the right URL, but people need to know that China is now racing ahead of the United States in hemp production and CBD research and all the things that, well, we should be and are supposed to be doing here in the United States. So, you know, we just filmed, we did a chapter about industrialized hemp, and we were at Dr. Bronner's soap factory. It's run by his grandson. It's a famous soap maker. Have you ever heard of Dr. Bronner's Magic Soap?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we've got some right here in the house.
There you go. Yeah, so we went to the factory there, and they're a huge consumer of hemp oil. And, you know, he has to buy his hemp oil from Canada. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's completely crazy. You know, they can't, you know, they can't get the hemp grown. And he gave me a briefcase made out of hemp. That's amazing. You know, they're building, I believe, Mercedes-Benz and other companies are using hemp to create these incredible composites materials. It's almost like fiberglass, but it's even stronger than fiberglass when you smash on it. Conservative, even redneckish Americans who have been against marijuana all this time need to know that, well, China is taking over this industry if we don't, like, do something here.
Yeah. There's so much about it. You know, there's so many different industries that are fighting to maintain the status quo, and that fight means, you know, throwing good people in jail and letting Mexico get slaughtered down there. It's just obscene, and I'm glad you've got this movie, American Drug War II, that's going to shine a light on a lot of this and inform the people, like you say, those people that aren't paying too close attention. Maybe they'll see this when they're flipping through the Netflix or they see it on TV somewhere. And we get some more information out to the people.
Just try to wake up people one person at a time. You know, that's all
absolutely.
You can do.
Absolutely. Well, Kevin Booth, thank
and
you so much.
There's one other little chapter here. We'll squeeze this in.
Oh, yes.
About the foster system. My wife and I recently entered into the foster system. We didn't have children of our own. And we learned after getting into this that 90% of all children in the foster system are on powerful pharmaceutical drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this isn't every case example, but there's actual cases out there where someone's children has been taken away from them because they're only using marijuana. And then the government takes your children, puts them in a home with some crazy people, and then puts them on Adderall. I mean, all these foster kids, they're all on Adderall. They're all on antidepressants. You know, it's just unbelievable. And they're just drugging these children. I mean, this young girl we were taking care of, she came to us with court orders. Like, if we broke these orders, she would have been taken away from us, where it's basically, you know, at 6 in the morning, you give her speed, and at 6 at night, you give her a tranquilizer.
Jeez.
And this is like a 12-year-old, you know, little girl who, like, did nothing except for the fact that her mom screwed up and went to jail for a couple years.
That was just reprehensible. Like I said, so many different angles in this. So many terrible obscenities committed in the name of this war on drugs. Oh, my God. Well, Kevin, you know, that's about all the time we've got here for you today, but we could probably talk for an hour on this. I hope to see you in a few days out there at Willamette University.
Absolutely. Let's do some more. I appreciate you having me on here and plugging these things. And keep you in the loop, and when this film is done, we'll do a lot more.
All right, thanks so much, Kevin Booth from American Drug War and American Drug War II, as well as How Weed Won the West. Thanks for joining us here on Normal Show Live.
All right,
thank Kevin Booth for interviewing with us just a few days ago, and I just replayed that because today we will be going out to visit Kevin Booth, the filmmaker that we just interviewed, and take a look at some of that new footage that he shot in Juarez. He's like you heard in the interview, he's just showing the uncut footage, and I hope to get a good exclusive interview with him. If we're allowed to stream, I may stream it on the Radical Russ channel. So check out the intertubes later tonight, an hour after Toker Talk Radio finishes. And if I can, I will stream what I can for you guys. And you can see Kevin Booth out there at Willamette University. And if I can't, I'll just record it. So there we go. But Coleco can't go.
I can't go. But that's okay. I will be living vicariously through you. And then hopefully checking it out on the Radical Rest channel.
Yeah, yeah. And whatever I can get, I will film. And we'll bring that on tomorrow's show. You know, even if I can get it processed by then, we'll bring it on tomorrow's show. Also want to encourage you to stick around and listen to the other shows that are coming up on the Normal Network. We've got the Hot Box podcast from Kalispell, Montana, coming up at the 6 o'clock hour. 7 o'clock, you get the Hollywood Hemptress Hour. And I think this is the show they've got with the guy from the Bud's House movie that we interviewed. I can't remember his name. Jorge Diaz.
Yeah, there you go.
Ding. Talk about your marijuana and your short-term memory. Pulled that one off pretty well. So check that show out. And then also coming up tomorrow, a great episode of Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher. Apparently, he's got, we're going to have a live in studio guest for the first time.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
One of the band members from Lacero is going to come in. And there'll be other great metal videos and hellbilly videos and plus a little talk about sports, too. We always do a little sports talk there on Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher. So check that out coming up tomorrow night, 8 o'clock in our live hour. We've always got a live hour going on at 8 o'clock Pacific, 11 o'clock Eastern. Well, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I should say at this point.
There you go.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday, there live hour. That's all the time we've got for Normal Show Live. Thanks for joining us. And we think Cannabis Cure will be back with us tomorrow, maybe here, even here in the studio.
That would be awesome.
We're not sure.
A wonderful day.
We're going to try and find out. And also, we will have some Rockin' Friday for you tomorrow on tomorrow's show and plenty more. Next week, I'm headed out to San Antonio and to Denver and to Tucson and a whole bunch of other places. So stay tuned for schedule updates as far as what we're going to do with all the live shows and Normal Show Live and Toku Talk Radio, which I'll be bringing to you from the road. It'll be a lot of fun. For Wiz Coleco, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.